Welcome to Three Faith Paranormal Podcast, where we cut the thread between the living and the dead.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back to Bee's Paranormal Tea Party, where you can sit back, have a cuppa, and hang out with me, Bee. Today I am drinking stress relief tea because it has been a stressful couple months. I am so sorry I skipped last month, but there is a really good reason for it. My shop went viral on TikTok, and all of a sudden I was being bombarded with hundreds of orders all at once. So June and July were just super chaotic for me. I'm still kind of chaotic right now trying to get on top of things to get things out. But I'm back. I had June's Paranormal Tea Party episode already queued as of May, so that's why June's went up. But July, I kind of missed, and I'm really sorry about that. I had every intention to get it out, and then just everything went to shit. So, welcome back, and happy August. I hope you all had a fabulous Lammas. That was August 1st. I spent my Lammas by just kind of taking the day off, because I have not been able to take a day off in a while, and just, like, exist. I think I played The Sims and, like, healed my inner child there a little bit, and I made the most chaotic offering to my deity Dionysus ever. It was, like, a waffle and a side of, like, tofu scramble and a shot of tequila. He was definitely, like, going, what? Why do I choose the mentally ill ones? because he got, like, such a chaotic freaking offering. But I only bring that up because that's what today's episode is about. So, today's episode is about how I found my deity. And I got this question a lot when I first went viral on TikTok. And that is because I went viral on TikTok by creating this thing called the Wheel of Deities, which I spin for mystery boxes to help me kind of decide on a deity so I'm not always picking Hecate or always picking Morrigan. You know, the ones that are, like, traditionally, like, spooky witchy. But since creating this monster of a wheel, I've realized that I tap into something when I spin it. And a lot of times it can be very accurate. And the times that it's not, it's to give whoever it's spun for a lesson kind of a thing. Like, if it lands on, I don't know, let's say Persephone, because she's the one who made me go viral. Let's say it lands on Persephone and you're not necessarily worshipping Persephone at that point in time. It could just be a symbol to grow and allow yourself to grow and to not get stuck in the same patterns that you're always stuck in and, like, try something new and step out of that comfort zone. Just like Persephone steps out of her comfort zone every winter when she goes into the underworld. It's not what she's used to, but she has a place there. So it was very much for me when I went viral, and it was because of Persephone and all that stuff. I don't worship Persephone. Persephone is not a deity that I currently worship. That might change further down the line, you know, but she's never really been one that I super jive with. But when she spun on the wheel and she got that and she had me go viral without any hashtags, it was a symbol that I needed to grow and I needed to stop being afraid of growth. Because as much as I always pray for success, I was afraid of that success because I wasn't ready for it. And I'm definitely not ready for it. Like, I've been struggling this long, but I am super happy to grow and super happy to learn to adapt to this insane amount of, like, orders and success that I'm having all of a sudden. So just because a deity on the wheel lands on you doesn't necessarily mean that it's one that is meant for you, if that makes sense. But this Wheel of Deities made me go viral, and the number one question I was getting was, how do you connect to your deity? How do you connect to your deity? And I tagged my friend at Moon, Serpent, and Bone, Otherworldly Waxes. Her name is Amy. She's fucking amazing. And she did a talk a while ago where she explained how to call to your spirit guides. So I made a video explaining how to call to your spirit guides, but there were still a lot of questions about how I figured out mine and the chaos that led me to Dionysus. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about my story from when Dionysus came forward and said, hey, yo, you're mine. Could you maybe, like, realize that? So I'm going to be reading a diary entry that I wrote in 2017 explaining everything that happened. Y'all know from past episodes that I usually read out of this journal directly, so that's probably what I'm going to be doing here, but giving my own input on it now as a witch that is much more experienced than I was in 2017. Because I have had 5 years of growth since this happened. It was back when my business was first starting off and I was vending at an event, and Amy just happened to be vending at that same event, and she was doing a talk, and now we've become, I'd like to say that we're friends now. I vend at her events a lot, she does her own events, and I hype her up a lot, so I would like to say that we're friends now. but this was before I really knew her and before all of this chaos happened. So let's dive in, y'all. And just keep that in mind, that this is 2017 B and not the current 2022 2.0 version of B as I'm reading through these, because this is a very old entry. Call to your spirit guides, they said. It will be fun, they said. Well, what they didn't say was what your spirit guides could be. Sure, I was warned that your spirit guides can sometimes be, well, snarky. I was also told that they can sometimes be too blunt. So of course, when I asked for them to show themselves to be three times, I asked that they do so gently, as I was not sure if I'd be able to handle such a blunt reveal. I figured it'll be my grandmother, or a long-lost dead relative. I only ever heard of spirit guides from my friends being relatives or humans. So when I asked for my spirit guide to show itself to me, I wasn't worried about what it could be, I was worried about who it could be, and I definitely wasn't worried about what types of phobias I had. Well, buckle in, witches, because when you call to your spirit guides, they like to be absolute dingles, and show themselves to you in whatever way they feel. Let's say you're deathly afraid of snakes and just walking into your kitchen after an emotional night. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, you haven't slept in 48 hours, and there, on your kitchen floor, is a full-sized adult garter snake. You stumble past it, not noticing it at first. Putting your items away from going to Walmart, stashing things into your cabinets, you start to head back across your kitchen when an instinct kicks in that you didn't even know existed, and you stop, staring at the rope. Your SO not far from you, and you look at them and go, Is that a snake? As the coil on the floor begins to look more and more like a snake, and less like a necklace chain or a rope. You watch your SO move over. How did that get in? They ask. And your anxiety kicks in. Suddenly you're crying and shaking. There's now a bucket over the snake and you're grabbing for your keys. You're out the door in 30 seconds with only one solution. You're going to live in your car for the rest of your life because there are snakes in your house. An obvious solution. Okay. Maybe that's not the obvious solution for everyone. So after several hours and three different people trying to convince my crying, blubbering mess of a self to go back into the house, I surrendered and went back in. My SO caught it in a bucket and shooed it out. Everything was over. My snake phobia wasn't even that bad. Or at least, that's what I thought. However, I was never thrown into a situation of coming face to face with one. Normally garter snakes are rather, well, cute. They're derpy, legless puppies, not like a cobra that have those crazy eyes. Garter snakes are like my dog. No, derpy and slow. But the sheer fear that entered my being as I came into contact with one that I never expected was definitely something I didn't expect. Now, normally snakes don't have this kind of effect on me. I can walk past snakes at the pet store. I've had people come up to my booth with like a boa around their neck, you know, vending and stuff. Like, normally snakes don't have this kind of effect on me, but there was something about one being in my house that wasn't invited that just hit me the wrong way. And it sent me into a spiral of, what if there's more? You know, what if my entire house is filled with snakes? Oh my god, how am I going to get it out? Am I going to have to touch it? Thankfully, my SO at the time, who's now my ex, was there and was able to take care of it and get it out of the house and stuff for me, because otherwise, there's no fucking way. Like, I would be living in my car right now. It was a fear that I didn't even know was that intense. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that, but 2022 B here is still afraid of freaking snakes this intensely. So if one shows up in my house, since I'm bringing this up and I manifest that shit, I'm gonna be very disappointed in myself. And... because it is about the same time that the snake came into my house 5 years ago, because it was a really, really hot day, and I figured, you know, just wanted to cool his little belly or something, you know, all over, whatever. Snake is out of my house now. Or so I thought. So, back to 2017B. My office was just starting to get renovated. My team and I were in the process of completely restarting and starting things over. The energy was stale, and it's time to start over new. We headed to Home Depot, picked up some paints, and of course a natural organic snake keep-away spray. It's basically just a mixture of clove oil and a bunch of other essential oils that are proven to keep snakes away. We sprayed it around the house, and for some reason I ran a thin line of it over the radiator I was painting. The office walls, which the office that I'm talking about in this 2017B post is now my living room, because I used to have my living room in my office, and my living room was in a back room, because I outgrew my back room office. I needed a bigger space, so I moved it to my living room in my house that I'm currently living in. And then I outgrew that, and I'm in a different space now. But at that point, we were painting the walls a really gorgeous and energetic, creative, spiritual orange. It's still the color I have now. It is such a beautiful color. It matches the Ganesha tapestry that I have up there and the green plants, and it was just so nice to be able to do something new in an office space back then, because I was once again having a stale period of like lack of growth and all that jazz. So I added Ganesha oil to the paint to invite in prosperity and opportunities, because the business really needed that. As I'm painting the wall near the radiator, we get chatting, and my sister accidentally lets it slip that the snake came into the house again while I was asleep earlier. Thankfully, this time, I take it a little more lightheartedly. I express that I'm upset about them not telling me, and that I'm annoyed that it keeps coming back. As if on cue, this little danger noodle begins to slither up out of the radiator I'm currently painting. I drop the paintbrush and run over behind my mom, more surprised than anxiety-filled like the previous time. "Why does this thing like my house so much?" I begin, and then I pause. Oh, shit. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I had just attended my friend's spiritual guide seminar. That's Amy, who I was talking about earlier. I had just asked my spirit guides to make themselves known to me 3 times. Over the chaos of the last few weeks previous to this post, they hadn't had the chance yet. However, the snake had just finished making itself known to me for the 2nd time when it showed up the 3rd. A snake is my spirit guide. I mean, I guess that makes sense. I've been terrified yet fascinated by them ever since I was little. A snake is a symbol of rebirth. It's a symbol of transformation and life-changing healing, and I could have definitely used some healing right then. My life and my SOs, now my exes, was chaos over the past few weeks. We experienced so much change, and this was a reminder to be grounded. It was so needed. And as I began looking up snakes, and looking up deities associated with serpents, I came across Dionysus. So traditionally, Dionysus is known as a Hellenistic god of wine, but there's a lot more to him than just wine. He also has a lot to do with theater, he has a lot to do with mental health, and he also is a queer deity. So when I came across him, I just felt this feeling of comfortableness, which I've never been able to really truly explain. But it was like reading about him and like looking at photos of him, it was almost a feeling like you're home, you know, like you've found what you're looking for. And that's the best way I can describe finding your deity. Like, when you find your deity, it is a ridiculously spiritual experience. And I know that sounds like very cliche, and you're just like, okay, put on your woo-woo hat, we get it. But it really is very much like feeling home, feeling comfortable. And I've never had that same experience with any other deities in my craft. Like, I work with a lot of deities, being a professional witch and running a shop and having to make candles for specific deities and blends of bath salts and stuff for specific deities and working on boxes. So I work with a lot of deities, but none of them have ever left me feeling the same way Dionysus does, where it's just like this feeling of comfort, almost like a big brother kind of feeling, where it's like, you know that you can go to him if you have an issue, or, you know, he'll like just embrace you and tell you everything's okay kind of a thing. Like, I'm tearing up talking about it, but it's like, that's what it'll feel like when you get your deity. And as much as you can like spin a wheel and, you know, get deities, when you know, you know. And if I can just help one other person connect with their deity and feel the same way, that's what I want to do. And that's why going viral on TikTok has been such a cool thing, because I feel like I'm actually fulfilling my purpose of connecting baby witches and witches with lesser experience to deities that might help them feel like they're home. In a way, I feel like that's what Persephone was trying to do when I went viral without any hashtags or anything like that on TikTok. So, I mean, you can say it's the algorithm, like, but in my heart, dudes, it was Persephone 100%. Like, I don't know if Dionysus went to her and is like, yo, babe, I need your help. Could you hook my girl up by making her go viral with your video? Or if she just saw me and went, hey, you know, I like what this kid's doing, and help the shop go viral. I don't know. But if you are here from that video and you are here listening to this, I just want to thank you. And I invite you to try, you know, asking your deities to show themselves to you 3 ways. You know, do a little ritual, do a grounding ritual, call upon them, you know, and ask for them to show themselves. And maybe you'll be lucky and you'll have a deity that's nice and just like leaves you little cupcakes or sends kittens your way, you know, or maybe you'll get somebody like I got who sends you a phobia, but for a very good reason. I feel like I should also mention, because some people are probably going to be like, well, how do you know it's not XYZ? And I don't. Bottom line is, I don't. But witchcraft is a lot of trusting your own intuition, and my intuition was telling me at the time that this was Dionysus. And that's very important. It's kind of like Harry Potter with the sorting hat, where your say has an impact in the decision as well. If I had seen the serpent or the garter snake and went, you know, this is kind of like Loki, I'm feeling Loki might be here, you know, or I could have just went, hey, this is a freaking snake, I guess there's something the snake has to teach me, I don't know, it is a snake. But that's not how I took it. I took it as a sign from Dionysus going, hey, I'm ready to start working with you if you're ready to start working with me. And I've been working with him ever since, and it's now 2022, and I still have this chaotic, queer deity on my side that accepts shots of tequila and waffles with whipped cream as offerings. You know, you have to find a deity that matches your own energy. That's the most important takeaway here is, you know, you can ask for signs all you want, but at the end of the day, it's very much your choice and their choice. They can't just claim you and take you. It's consent. You have to say, yes, I would like to work with you. So I hope that this was an interesting episode for y'all. It's definitely one of my longer episodes. I've been talking for about 16 minutes at this point, and that's kind of weird to know that, I've been talking to myself for this long, but I hope that you guys had a great Lammas, and I will see you guys in September. Ooh, September. That's exciting. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Reckless Reads. That's where I post the most, although I have been falling a little bit behind because of the viral TikTok, but I'm hoping to get back into the swing of things once I catch up a little bit more. You can also follow my shop on TikTok. I am at Magic Macabre, and that's where all the chaos has been happening lately. And I thank you guys for hanging out and having a cuppa. So until next time, stay spooky.
Three Fates Paranormal Podcast, where we cut the thread between the living and the dead.